Welcome to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Today we continue in our study of the story of Jesus. And we're going through the Gospel of Luke. We've been doing that for almost 2 months now. We're going to continue to do that going forward, taking a break from time to time. But today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2 one more time. We're going to be taking a look again at the Christmas story for the last time this holiday season, because I think it still has some more to tell us that applies to us today. I want to give you the title of my message today, and it's a question. I want you to make note of what the first response or responses are that come to your mind when you hear this question. And the title of my sermon and the question is this: what do you do with good news? What do you do with good news? Now, what was or is the first thought that comes to mind? I actually asked a couple of people. I asked one of our young people Christmas Eve, because I was planning ahead and stuff. I said, here's a question for you. What do you do with good news? And that young lady said, you share it! I'm so glad that was the first response. I asked my wife, and she said pretty much the same thing. She says, you tell it to everybody. I asked somebody else this morning. They said, you run and tell it. I like that enthusiasm. How many of you had a very similar answer come to your mind? What do you do with good news? You got to share it with people, right? Several of you. Some of you had a different response, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'll be honest with you, because I wasn't specifically just focused on the good news of the gospel or what God can do. One of the first things that came to my mind as I was preparing this sermon is, how can I know if I can trust this good news? You thought about that? You see, if it's good news that we got, and we know it's true, we know we can trust it, maybe because we've already experienced it, then maybe our first response would be, I got to tell other people about this. But if you hear good news, but it seems to be too good to be true, or it's from a source you don't know or you're not sure if you can trust, your first response isn't probably going to be to go run and tell people about it. It's like, I need to check this out. There are some pieces of good news you may get, may receive in some form or fashion, and you just reject it immediately. You say, well, why in the world would you do that? Past experience. I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten full of good news about how some poor widow over in Africa somewhere, whose husband died and has $30 million in the bank and wants to get out of the country, and has found me on the internet. And wants me to help her get it out of the country, and she'll give me 10%. All I got to do is give her all my information, my name, address, phone number, bank, routing number, all when I get that kind of good news, I just kind of reject it. And unfortunately, it's gotten very prevalent over the last year or two. Every once in a while, actually it's a lot more often than every once in a while, I'll get a phone call. And someone who's so concerned about this good news they got to get me, they made a recording. And they'll tell me, hey, I'm so-and-so from such-and-such, and I've got good news for you. I just hang up. There are circumstances that we just know this is not really good news. I mean, it would be good news if it was true, but it's not true, and so we just reject it. But sometimes we hear good news, but we're not really sure. Is this really true? If it is, that'd be great. And it's worth checking out. That happened to us earlier this year. As many of you know, both of my in-laws, Pastor Jan's parents, passed away of COVID. And shortly after that, someone told us, listen, I want to let you know that FEMA, organization of the federal government, has set up a program to help pay for the funeral expenses of people that have passed from COVID. And I thought, that sounds like some good news. That would be nice. Is it really true? So we investigated it, and by the way, it is true. There are certain qualifications. If you haven't heard that, that might help you, and it might help people that you know that under very liberal qualifications, if you have a loved one or whatever that has passed away from COVID, FEMA will help with some of the funeral expenses. So that was a case of getting good news, or what seemed to be good news, but we just weren't sure, so we investigated it, found out it was, and can I tell you that Since we did find that out, and it was true because they did do that, we have shared that news with many people over this last year because it is good news that it is true, and we want to tell people about it. Well, as I said, today we're going to take another look at the Christmas story, and we're going to see how the first people to hear the good news about the birth of Jesus responded to that and what that might mean for us today. So let's look at Luke chapter 2, and our text is verses 8 to 20, but to provide a little bit of background, we're going to jump up to verse 4, story you're very familiar with, you've heard a lot the last couple of weeks. Luke 2, starting in verse 4, it says, "And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, who had his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for him in the inn." Well, that's the background to the story we're going to look at today. The birth of Jesus and all of the unique and unusual circumstances surrounding that. But now we get to our story, starting in verse 8. "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." Now, I'm going to pause right there and kind of paint this picture. If you could just imagine with me, how many of you have ever gone camping? I don't mean staying in a recreational vehicle that's only one step below your own home. I'm talking about going out in the woods in a tent, right? Okay, yeah. And you know, if the weather's nice, it's kind of fun at night. You just sit outside, little campfire, maybe making some s'mores or whatever, and just talking and having a good time. But other than the campfire, it's so dark, the stars in the sky. I can kind of picture that for these shepherds. The shepherds out in the fields taking care of the sheep. And it's dark. I don't know if you've been on a camp out in that kind of situation, and all of a sudden you need to, you know, make a trip a ways to take care of business, right? It's dark out there. You better take a flashlight. But if you can imagine being out in that in those kind of circumstances, all of a sudden there's this bright light, tremendously glorious, bright light that shines, and this angelic being shows up. Scare you to death. In most cases in the Bible, whenever an angel shows up with the glory of God surrounding, people often fall on their faces. They are scared to death. The most common words that are said when an angel shows up is the angel says, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of." In fact, we see that happening. Let's look at, go on with that. It says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host." That's the heavenly army. "Praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them." So we have this scene. I've already painted a field very close to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem is very close to Jerusalem, only about a couple miles away. And the sheep that were raised around Jerusalem, several miles around Jerusalem, were mostly dedicated to being used for the sacrifices in the temple. So these shepherds are out in the field watching over these very special sheep that will one day probably be used for sacrifice as an offering to God. Shepherds are very, very common people. They often were looked down upon. They were often mistrusted because being out in the wilderness like that, they didn't get to know people very well. And when people were attacked by bandits and stuff like that, it's like, well, that's out in the... I wonder if it was a shepherd. It was a lowly, unwanted job. It was dirty and uncomfortable, as you can imagine. I remember going on campouts, loving it. But when I get home and walk into a clean house, it's like, oh, I didn't notice how I feel. You know, had to get changed, get a shower really quick. Dirty and uncomfortable job, but somebody had to do it. So they're out there watching the flocks, protecting them from thieves and wild animals. The angel shows up, and they are scared to death. They're full of fear. But by the time we get to the end of the story, we see these shepherds who had been so full of fear, now filled with joy and worshiping and praising God. And I just want to tell you that that same scenario can be true for us. There can be times that circumstances can come into our lives that fill us with fear, if we're going to be honest. But even if it doesn't fill us with fear, because we really do trust God, there is fear, there's concern, whatever. But God can turn that situation around to bring joy and can lead to a place where we can honestly praise and worship God. And that's what we're going to see in this story. The way the shepherds responded to this good news, what they did with the good news, in principle anyway, are the same things that we need to do with good news to see it make a difference in our lives. And let me just throw this out at the beginning, and then I probably won't mention it again, that we're talking primarily about the good news of Jesus. But what I want to share with you today is actually the way we should approach God's word all the time. When we're studying it for ourselves, when we are involved with a group that's discussing it, when we're in a Bible study, we're in a situation like this where it's being proclaimed or taught, this is how we should respond to God's word. But today we're focusing on the good news. So what did the shepherds do? How did they respond? What did they do with the good news? The first one is this: hear the good news. We need to hear the good news. The shepherds heard the good news. Now, when I say hear the good news, they heard the good news, I'm not just talking about letting it go into your ear. How many of you know there's something different there's a difference between hearing and really listening, right? You know, we can hear something and we're not paying attention, we're too busy focused on our phone, our tablet, the TV, radio, our own thoughts or whatever. And yes, we heard it, but ask us a minute or two later what was said. It's like, I'm not real sure. So the idea of this is to hear the good news, but not just hear it, but to listen, to pay attention to it. This is what the shepherds did. Now, I'll be honest with you. The shepherds were in a situation where I don't think they could do anything but really hear and listen to this good news. You have an angel showing up with the glory of the Lord, you're going to be paying attention. But many times God's word comes in a different setting where there is no angel, where there is no glorious presence. Sometimes it's a still small voice. Sometimes we're just sitting down reading our Bible, and it's so easy to just want to kind of go fast and skim over it so we can get over our devotions for the day. But we need to listen. We need to hear the good news. So the angel shows up to bring this good news. As I've mentioned before, the word angel means messenger of God. And when we look at the angels in Scripture, God didn't use them often, but when he did, they always came to announce either good news or bad news. Good news because God was getting ready to do something great, or bad news, things had gotten so bad, God had to send an angel to announce judgment. Now, I don't know about you, but I like good news a whole lot better than bad news. And on this day, the angel brought good news. And we could certainly use good news today, can't we? I mean, I hope you're like me and say, there's a lot of good news in my life. There's a lot of bad news, too. All the things we've had to deal with COVID, and, you know, and you look at the headlines and you see all the violence, the shootings, even at Christmas time, the crime seems to be getting out of hand, the economy, disruptions of supplies, There's a lot of bad news out there. Unrest around the world. The natural disasters. Plenty of bad news. But I just want to tell you something. God has good news. Now, the best good news is the story of Jesus and what he came to do. But even beyond and above that, God has good news for us. And many times God gets a bad rap. People think, well, God only wants to spoil my fun. God only wants to ruin my life. He wants to tell me all these things that I want to do and I can't do. Yes, God wants to guide and lead us. But you know, when he tells us not to do something we want to do in our flesh, it's always with our best interests in mind. Now, you may have a hard time believing that, but I believe that with all my heart. Not only because of the truth I've experienced and learned, but also from my own personal experience. God knows what's best for us. And when he tells us something, even if inside we kind of rebel against that, we don't want to cooperate, it's always for our benefit. He doesn't want to spoil our fun. He wants to make sure that we have a good, whole, abundant, fulfilled life. And beyond that, eternity. So God has good news. And the angel said it's good news of great joy. Not just joy, but great joy. And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Mega joy, supersized joy. It's a big deal. What kind of news brings you great joy? Well, it's the kind that affects you personally in a great way, in a positive way, right? And the angel said, basically, I've got great news of great joy. Because it can impact you. In fact, he mentions it, that it is for all the people. Now, he mentions not only joy, but when the angelic army that is also a choir shows up, they mention peace. And I talked about this 2 weeks ago when we talked about God's Christmas gift and Jesus is his gift, but along with that comes love, joy, peace, hope. That this time of the year, seems like even more than any other time, people struggle to find joy, to find peace. I mean, it's true all year round. Everybody has different circumstances. But God makes those things available to us. Why is it that people struggle to find to have joy, to have peace? There's a lot of different reasons. Sometimes it's because their life is filled with difficulty and pain and struggle. Sometimes it's not filled, there's just only one thing, but that one thing is so big. So big, it overwhelms everything else. And I'm not making light of any of the difficult circumstances that we might face or have faced, and we all will face them. And I'm not certainly trying to say that if you let those things steal your joy or your peace, or you struggle with that, that you're somehow less of a believer or less of a Christian, because we all still struggle. We all still live in a difficult world. I just want to let you know that God wants to help you with those things. And that he can bring peace and joy in the midst of whatever that is. Because here's the thing. God's good news is always much better than any bad news you may receive. God's good news is always much better than any bad news you receive. And the main reason is because God is aware of that bad news. He's allowed it for whatever reason. But he wants to work in and through it to bring something even better out the other side. Sometimes we don't experience the joy and peace, maybe not because our bad things are so overwhelming, but we're so focused on it and we're ignoring the good stuff. And there's a couple other reasons. We'll deal with some of them as we go along. As I mentioned, the angel said that this good news is for all the people. It's for everybody. Now, that's great. I don't know about you, but there have been many times I have been preparing my taxes. I know that's not a fun thing to hear about right now, but thank the Lord you've got a couple of months left. Many times I'll be preparing my taxes, and because the tax laws change so often and this, that, and the other, I'll hear about this particular credit you can get or this whatever, and if you can claim it, you can get this much amount off of your taxes or this much back or whatever. And I don't know about you, but most of the time when I investigate it, I find out I don't qualify. That's okay. There are some changes made to the tax laws 2-3 years ago that actually took away some of the benefits I had as a pastor. But that's okay. I'm not complaining. I tell you what, I don't mind paying my taxes because I benefit greatly from it. That's a whole nother sermon. But Certain things of the good news are only for the people that qualify, and the qualifications may be kind of limited, but not this good news. It is for all the people. We see here the shepherds, some of the lowliest of people, society-wise, occupation-wise. They were the first ones to get the message. But as we read the rest of the story in Matthew, the Magi, the advisors to the kings who had a high position, also received the message, because it's for everybody. And what is this message? That's what we talked about 2 weeks ago, the last time I preached, and so we won't spend a lot of time with it, but it's all wrapped up in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Basically, Jesus is that good news. He is God's Christmas gift, that God came to earth in the flesh to be Savior, to be Messiah, to be Christ, which is what another word for Messiah, and He is the Lord, that God Himself came to be Savior and Messiah. King and deliverer, the one who would rescue and set things right. All the hopes of the Jewish people for hundreds of years had rested in the coming of the Messiah. Now, this is really good news that God sent a Savior, but it's really good news only for those people that need that know that they need a Savior. Right? I mentioned that before. I said, when is something really, really good news for you? When it's something that impacts you personally? But you know, this message goes out every Christmas and between Christmases in places where the gospel is preached and taught. But there are so many people who treat it so lightly. And the reason why is because they don't really realize that they need a Savior. Sometimes it's through ignorance. Sometimes it's through because they don't want to deal with that. Sometimes because they're afraid of what it will mean for a change in their life or something like that. But for whatever reason. But you know what? When you realize you need a Savior, you're glad there is one. If you're on a cruise and you fall overboard off that cruise ship, and you can see that cruise ship retreating in the distance because nobody noticed, you know you need a Savior. I don't care how good you can swim. And if somebody notices it and they scramble some kind of boat or something to come get you and you see it coming, that is good news. Because you need a Savior. You got one coming. What can I tell you? The Bible makes it very clear. We all need a Savior. If someone were to come out, a doctor, a medical laboratory, or whatever, with news tomorrow saying, "We have discovered a surefire cure for this type of cancer," fill in the blank, whatever kind of cancer you want to say, "it works 100% of the time. We'll totally take it away. We'll totally reverse the consequences, the symptoms, the effect of the cancer." That'd be good news. I mean, I think most people would rejoice in that. But who would it be that would really rejoice in it? The people that have that cancer. I'm going to tell you something. We all have cancer. It's called sin. The Bible says we are all sinners separated from God. The wages of sin is death, not just physical death, but spiritual death, eternal separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Messiah, our Savior. When we get that message, we have to understand the bad news before it's such good news. We are sinners, but God made a way. Basically, very simply, Jesus came, God Himself came, became man to live a perfect life, a life we cannot live, so that when He died, in God's plan and in the way He did things, His death paid the price for our sins. So as we put our trust in Him and what He did, and come to God sorry for our sin, I mean, why wouldn't we be sorry for our sin if we're concerned about our relationship with God? It's the thing that's caused the problem between us and God. It's the thing that put this great chasm or wall, I like those two pictures, between us and God. And Jesus took care of it, so we're sorry that it did that. So we ask God for forgiveness. We repent of our sins and ask God to forgive us, not based on what we can do or because we deserve it, but because of what Jesus did. The Bible makes it clear God does forgive us. We become a new creation, the Bible says. We have relationship with God, and now He will help us to live a life pleasing to Him. And if you have not done that, I would challenge you to do that today. I'll be honest with you, if you've not done that, my biggest prayer for you right now is that you would hear the bad news and take it very seriously. And I don't mean that mean. But until you take that bad news that you have cancer, you have that sin, cancer, and you take it seriously, you're not going to accept the good news. But there is the good news when you hear that bad news. It doesn't have to last very long. Take advantage of what God's done about it. So I ask you today, have you heard this good news? I mean, really heard it, really listened to it. Because the same news the angels gave to the shepherd, or the angel gave to the shepherd that day, is still true today. Jesus is here today. He is here to save us from our sin and to make a difference in our lives. So we need to hear the good news, but something else is necessary. It's not just enough to hear the good news. We need to hear the good news, but we should also investigate the good news. Investigate the good news. The shepherds did that. Now, I don't think they doubted it too much. I mean, when you get a message straight from God by a glorious angel, chances are you're going to pretty much believe it. But also keep in mind, the Bible says that the enemy can appear as an angel of light. So it's wise to investigate the good news. We see that in our text, starting in verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing." They're saying, "Let's check it out." It doesn't say it in the text, but I can picture that. I imagine it's probably true. I mean, God just spoke directly to us through an angel. It's probably true, but let's go check it out. Let's see this thing that happened, which the Lord made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the baby. Again, we need to investigate the good news. And especially if it comes in a form that's not announced by angels or something else that lets us know this is for sure from God, or in a very non-spiritual way that we know for sure that this is true. As I mentioned before, there are so many scams out there, not just scams with emails and phone calls and people trying to take advantage of us, but spiritual scams. You need to investigate it. Just like you need to check out the truthfulness of what you hear and read in general, so you don't become victim of a scam, you need to do the same thing with spiritual truth. Now, I want to tell you something. There's a false idea that's out there, sometimes in the church world, in Christianity, among spiritual things, and that is, you know what? You just need to read it in God's Word, and you just need to accept it, believe it, and go forward. And there is truth to that. But I want to let you know, God is not against us investigating the truth. Because here's the thing, the truth has nothing to hide. There are many other philosophical systems or religious systems or spiritual systems, things that we might would call cults. They've got things to hide. Because what they believe and what they purport is true is not. And a close investigation reveals that. Can I tell you that we need to hear and really listen to and hear the truth, and we need to believe it and act on it, but there's nothing wrong with investigating it. That's what these shepherds did. I mean, did they really have to go? They could have said, "The angel said it, I believe it, thank you, God sent a Savior. Let's just go on with our lives in light of that good news and let it change us. However, we don't really need to go check it out." But no, they went and checked it out. In fact, the angel said, "This is what you look for." He gave him a sign. It's basically as if he's saying, "Listen, I know you want to go check this out. I know you want to see this for yourself. So here's what you look for." And can I tell you, that's the very reason Luke is writing his book. We've talked about this along the way the last 2 months. Luke is writing this book to present Jesus and the facts about his life. And he makes it very clear. He says, "Listen, I'm putting Jesus out there. I want you to," right from the beginning, he says, "He is the Savior. He's the Messiah the Jewish people have been waiting for. He is the Lord God himself. But I don't just ask you to accept that. I'm going to write the rest of this book and tell you all the things that he said, or all the things that are pertinent." I mean, you couldn't put everything Jesus said and did in one book. John said that. But I'm going to write down all the things that will help you make a good decision about whether this is really true or not. And I've actually even challenged you and those of you that are watching online. For some reason, there's just this sense in my heart that there are people that are a part of this series that you're not real sure about this God thing, this Jesus thing, and who Jesus is. Was he really God in the flesh? And was he really Savior and Messiah? Did he really, you know, and that's why Luke is writing, and I've been challenging you. Investigate it for yourself. The truth, God's truth, has nothing to hide. I'm not saying there won't be questions along the way. There won't be things we got to find answers for, but it has nothing to hide. Investigate the truth. Check it out. Research it. It's a very important topic. In fact, I would say to you that if you are one of those people, you're on the fence, you're not sure what to think of Christianity and Jesus, can I tell you, obviously from my perspective and those of us that have a relationship with God, that's probably one of the most important things you can investigate. Because if it's true, it affects your eternity in a very significant way. Will you have a relationship with God both now and forever? Or will you be eternally separated from him in all that is good and wonderful and right, because God is the source of all those things? And so I, again, challenge you. If you're kind of wrestling, wondering, whatever, and it's not even that big of a deal, take the time. Take the time to really look at it. Take a serious investigate it, because a lot rides on whether this good news is really true or not. So we hear the good news, we investigate the good news. The next step is the one I've already mentioned. We believe the good news. The shepherds did. They believed it. Now, it doesn't say that they became great people of faith. We only have a little teeny tiny section of their life. We have no idea how this event impacted them over the course of their lives. I have a feeling it impacted them tremendously. But we do know that they believed the good news. How do we know they believed the good news? Because they did something about it. Now, let me just tell you this. You know, good news won't do you any good unless you believe it and act on it. You talk about faith, belief, true faith always results in actions. Always. If you claim to believe, claim to have faith in God, and it's not changed your life, you really don't. You really don't. And I'm not the only one that says that. God's Word says that. But as I said, good news won't do you any good unless you believe it and act on it. You know, if I were to tell you, now this is a made-up story, so don't go telling people this or acting on it yourself. But if I were to tell you that tomorrow, to help with the economic situation and the crunch that we're in right now, Winn-Dixie is going to give $100 free groceries to anybody that comes in tomorrow morning and shops, and they're in the checkout line between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock. When you check out, they'll take $100 off your grocery bill. Again, disclaimer, that is not true. But if I presented that as true, how would we know who really believed me? It'd be the people at Winn-Dixie tomorrow morning, rushing up and down the aisles, getting groceries in their carts so they can be in line between 9 and 10 o'clock. How would someone get the free groceries? They'd be in Winn-Dixie going up and down the aisles, and they would be in that line at 3 o'clock. They would go, they would shop, they would meet the qualifications. They would act. As I said, true belief always results in actions. So what is it that the shepherds did that showed that they believed? Well, they decided to go and see for themselves. If they had, why in the world they would, disbelieved the angel, they wouldn't have bothered leaving their jobs and going off in the middle of the night to try to go find some baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger. A manger, that's a feeding trough. But they did believe. They decided to go. It says they went with haste. This was important to them. They could have taken their time. It says they searched. They searched. All they knew was to find this baby wrapped in cloths lying in this feeding trough. It's an unusual thing, but it's very distinctive. But they still had to look. And so I'd ask you today, have you believed this good news about Jesus? It's not enough to just say, well, I've heard it. Yeah, I kind of accept it. But have you done something with it? Have you taken that step of surrendering your life to Christ and asking God to forgive you of your sins based on what he's done for you on the cross? I want to add one other thought here before we go on. As we look at the shepherds, We know what the angel told them. Did they know and understand all that Jesus was and what he would do? No. Nobody did. But they acted on what they did know and what they did understand. And I just want to tell you the same thing. Sometimes people say, well, I am investigating God and the Bible and Jesus, but I don't have all my questions answered, and I'm still searching. And I understand that. But can I tell you, you don't have to have all your questions answered. You don't have to have every little detail figured out before you can respond. So we hear the good news, we investigate the good news, we believe the good news, and just so you know, in case you're keeping score, there's two more left. The fourth one is we share the good news. That's where we started out, right? When I said, when you hear this, what do we do with good news? Many people said, you go share it with everybody. But that was under the assumption that we knew it was true. So we share the good news. We see the shepherds did that. It says, after they went and saw the baby, they made known what had been told to them, and then they went and told other people. And the other people were so excited, the angels had confirmed it and all that kind of, it was just wonderful. They spread the word. They could have kept it to themselves, but they didn't. This is a challenge for those of us who know Jesus. We've accepted God's gift of salvation. We need to share that good news. It's one of the reasons why we have testimonies on Wednesday nights. Not just the good news of salvation, but what God's doing in our lives. We got to share this good news. God's actively involved and wants to be involved in not just our lives, but everybody's life. We see that they shared what they had been told, but I bet you they shared what they had seen too and what they'd experienced. And that really is what the meaning of witness is, to share what you have seen and heard for yourself. We sometimes want to make sharing the good news with people so complicated. It doesn't have to be. What has Jesus done for you? What's the results that's come about? Share that with other people. Now, it is important to know the biblical basis for it and that kind of stuff, and you learn more and more about that as you go along. But you don't have to wait until you know it all to tell people about Jesus and what he can do. So hear the good news, investigate it, believe it, share it, and the fifth and last one is rejoice in the good news. We see the shepherds did that. The end of the story, it says that they returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Now, did their circumstances change? They're still shepherds. They're still watching sheep in the fields out on a big camp out. They weren't all of a sudden considered extra special people in the eyes of society. No, their circumstances hadn't changed on the outside, but they had changed because of the way the good news changed them. And that same thing can happen today. I mentioned before that the most important thing is that you respond to the good news by knowing Jesus is your Savior, but beyond that, if you're facing a situation that wants to rob you of your joy and your peace, can I tell you that by knowing God's good news about your circumstance and investigating it and believing it and putting your trust in it, that God really does love me, he knows what I'm going through, and he wants to bring good out of that. Whether your circumstances change immediately or not, you can have the same response. You can have joy. You can have peace. You can find yourself in a place where you say, God, I praise you and I worship you, and I really mean that. Even though I still got this situation in my body or in my finances or in my marriage or in my family or at the workplace, because I know that you're actively involved. And somehow, some way, at some time, probably not as quick as I'd like, but you're going to bring good out of it. So I rejoice in your goodness, your love, and your care. Can I tell you, just focus on that good news, not the bad news. It's not in the story. I have no way of knowing whether this happened or not. It probably did not. But could you imagine in this group of shepherds if after the angel left, the shepherds are discussing, hey, let's go find out. If there were one or two or however many says, you know what, I don't think we're going to go. I think we'll stay here. Not really that important to me. I think I'm just going to stay here. What they would have missed. You know, sometimes that's the reason why many people don't experience peace and joy, because they don't act on the message. So I want to challenge you today, not just for today, and not just about salvation, although that's the most important thing, but about every area of your life. And whenever you approach God's word on your own or in a Bible study, you hear a message, hear the good news. Really pay attention to what God is saying to you. Investigate it if you need to. God doesn't care. God doesn't mind. But then believe it. And if you believe it, act on it. Accept Christ as your Savior if you've not done that yet. Live your life surrendered to Him. Trust His promises to take care of whatever you may fear and share that good news with others. Let's all stand together. I'm going to invite my wife, Pastor Jana, our elders that are here that are available to come down. We're going to close this service as we most often do with the worship team leading us in another song. And as we're down front here, if you need or want someone to pray with you about anything, that's why we're here. If you don't know Jesus and you want to surrender your life to Him, if you got a situation in your life that's brought some fear, and maybe even hasn't brought some fear, maybe you got just confident in God, but you just want us to pray with you because you know God's doing something, but we're going to pray about it. Maybe there's someone you know or love that needs God to do something, and you want to come and have us pray together about whatever it might be. But for the rest of you, I encourage you to continue to meditate on this message, to do with whatever you need to do between you and God, if there's something you need to talk to Him about, and or sing along in worship and praise because of what God has done. In a couple moments, I'll come back up and close in prayer. That song is the most appropriate response to this message. And basically to every message. To whatever God speaks to us about in our personal devotions when we gather together to say, I surrender. A challenge. Let's all say that today. I mean, I can't say it for you. But as we conclude our time together, let's do that right now. Father, we come to you right now, thankful again that you sent Jesus into this world, and we celebrate that coming this time of the year, that he came to be our Savior, and that you, through him, want to be intimately and intricately involved in our lives, working all things for good. Not all things are good, but bringing good out of it. But Lord, today we just surrender. We surrender ourselves. We surrender our circumstances, our health, our marriage, our family, our relationships, our school circumstances and work, our work situation. We just surrender it, Lord God. Help us to hear your voice. When we know it's your voice, Lord God, to believe and to act in faith and obedience to see you work. And God, I pray that as we do that, that in and of itself and its results, Lord God, would be a witness to the world, but that we would not be shy about sharing with Jesus in our words of what you've done for us, so that you would get the glory, Lord God, and more people would be pointed to you. I pray that as we leave this place, go into this last week of the year, that you would do what you want to do in our lives, prepare us, Lord God, for the end of the year, the beginning of the new year, Lord God, so that next year can be a great year walking with you. God, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marionoaksag.org.